F2BACR.
Tonight is Business Advisory Community Radio, 2BACR, and 2BACR, Peter Birch and Robin Birch. Good afternoon, Robin.
Good evening, Peter. How are you today?
I am really, really good. It's a Monday evening, which means it's time for Business Advisory Community Radio. It's none of our business and all of yours. That's the tagline. It's all about supporting businesses in the Bankstown and Auburn communities. And we're here until 8 o'clock this evening, live to 100.9 to BACR. You can get in touch with us in a number of different ways, not just the old blower. You can get in touch with us on Facebook, on Twitter. We're hitting up the social media. Facebook is BACR on BACR, and Twitter is at BACR on BACR.
We'd love to hear from you. Tonight, we're talking about operations management. What does it mean? Where are operations? Who is operations? Does operations have anything to do with you?
That's a very relevant question, I think, and one that people would be asking, well, operations management, that seems very lofty, very not really needed for my business. Perhaps I'm too small. I don't need to worry about the management of my operations as such. I don't have operations. We're not a surgery. But it's more than that. It's a lot more. we'll be talking about that. But I think that to sort of warm things up, I wanted to tell you a joke, Robin.
Yes.
I heard a joke that I thought might be relevant for this evening. So an engineer, an operations manager, and an accountant, and a software technical support person were travelling together in a car to attend an urgent meeting. 10 kilometres from the meeting, the car breaks down. The engineer says, "Give me 10 minutes and I'll have it fixed." The operations manager says, "If we all get a cab, we'll still get there on time, and under the circumstances, the cost is still acceptable." The accountant says, "We could get the bus, we'd still get there on time, and it's half the cost." And the software tech support guy says, "If we all get out and then get back in again, it should start." Get it? The whole starting, stop and start, the restart, the computer, and the get out and back in. It should start.
Is it switched on?
I need one of those do-do-tsh sound effects, because that was a ripper. It wasn't so much a joke about operations management, but then again, it is quite relevant. The operations manager was looking for the most efficient way and the way to get the job done. So looking at quality and cost.
Or, as us in operations management like to call it, Peter, the four Vs.
Ooh, the four Vs.
The four Vs: volume, variety, variation, and visibility.
Right, okay. So that's the way to look at our efficiency and our cost, or look at measure what is important.
Yes.
In operations. Okay, sure. So what was the first V?
The first V is volume. So if you take volume and variety, and they go quite hand in hand together, and if you think about it as variety usually means low volume, whilst high volume normally means low variety. So if you think of a production line where you can get things out relatively quickly and it's just the same thing, one then that's low variety, but you're going to get high volume from it because it's repetitive, it's identical, there's no variation.
Okay. So let me think of an example. So if I was a production line making match boxes or making matches just in general.
Yes.
And I could churn out thousands of boxes of matches.
Mm-hmm.
I want all matches to be exactly the same. I want all boxes of matches to be the same. I could, so that's a high volume and low variety. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Whereas if I am a lawyer, for example,
mm-hmm. highly specialized.
Yes.
High level of variety in the skills that are required,
mm-hmm.
the services that are offered,
mm-hmm.
and the output that's required.
Mm. But it was a lower volume. We're not going to be churning out cases like matchboxes.
No.
No.
It's like baking cookies. You can bake gingerbread men, and you can keep going because they're all the same. You use the same tools. One person can do it with high repetition.
Mm. Tell you what, if I ever made cookies, the control, it's out of there. There's no control. But we'll talk about quality control a bit later, I guess, because that's all very important too. Tonight on the show, we will cover what is operations management. Mm-hmm. We'll cover the role of an operations manager, the benefits of operations management, and the transformation process in general that is operations, I guess. We want to hear how operations may have transformed you. Give us a call, 02-9793-109. By the way, you could also be listening to us on the podcast. It's a relatively new thing for us. You would be listening to us. Click on Facebook and then you can click the link and you can leave feedback for us and all that kind of stuff. So if you're listening on a podcast, then don't bother calling us at 3 in the morning. So, yes, we have. We have. We actually had one from Kimberly in Picnic Point. And Kimberly's question was, I work in a hair salon and my son talks about how we need to improve the operations of our business. I try to tell him we don't have operations as we're not a big company. He tells me that all companies have operations and should have operations managers. What do you think? So she's thrown the question to us. I think she's trying to settle an argument with her son, an argument about operations, which I think is a good argument to have. But hopefully we can enlighten her son, and anyone else that may be listening.
So, Kathy, I'm not sure what your son's name is. You didn't mention it in your question. But he's right and he's wrong.
Hmm.
So, companies have operations, in that he's correct. Whether or not you have an operations manager is a bit of a different statement.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be an operations manager, but you would certainly be managing operations.
Mm.
And this happens anywhere. At home, you know, normally everybody's got quite an operation to wake up and get everybody out the door for work every morning.
Yep.
And you're managing multiple processes of waking people up at the right time, putting toast in at the right time, having showers, packing school bags, making lunches, until you get out the door to get to the bus, to get to school, to get to the train, to get to the office.
So when you say that every company has operations, mm-hmm. are you saying that because every company has to deliver something? That's the whole concept of being in business. You deliver something. Likely you are selling something. That something has got to be made, and that making process is operations?
It's, yes. So if you have an objective or a task mm-hmm. to get done, whether that is at work, at home, getting from A to B,
mm-hmm.
You're going on a holiday,
yep.
that's an operation.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting a business. You're going to run a radio station. You're going to have a radio show.
Yes.
Process.
So what's the difference then between an operations manager and a project manager then? Because a starting up a radio station, mm-hmm. some people would say, well, that's a project and you need a project manager. And I've seen my project managers, they've got Gantt charts, you know, they've got the lines that say when things will start and stop. But I've seen project managers and I've seen operations managers.
Yeah, one can do the other person's job.
Ah. I see what you mean. So an operations manager can manage projects and be a project manager.
An operations manager effectively is a project manager. An operations manager has responsibility for stock, resources, on-time delivery,
mm-hmm.
processing times, efficiencies, cost, wages, the whole picture. Whereas a project manager is about managing the people to manage those processes. So if you're going to be starting up a big organisation, or you're going to get a group of people together to run a cooperative, for example,
mm-hmm.
then you may have operations managers or fleet managers, you know, lots of other different names that you can call them, store managers, retail managers.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an operations manager exactly.
That's managing those individual components of the cooperative, but to get it all happening and to get it on time and running,
mm.
your project manager is the person bringing those operations managers together to get them working.
Okay, so literally you're saying any company or any business can have an operations or have an operation and could benefit from an operations manager. So I'm going to throw some questions to you, some examples.
Yes.
I know a pet store not far from here.
Yep.
Does a pet store have an operations function?
Yes.
What would be the operations function for a pet store?
Stock rotation. You would have dry store. You'd have frozen food.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You would have queuing functions. You would have lots of different items that you need to be managing at any one time.
Okay, sure. So I would usually just picture a pet store manager patting cats, but maybe that's more to it then. But
animals have water, have food, that their litters have been cleaned. There's lots of different processes that you need to work through as you go about your daily functions.
Gotcha. All right, then. So if we moved on, then what about a shoe store?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So what would be the operations of a shoe store then?
Placement of shoes. Do you put the men's shoes at the front or the ladies' shoes? Which shoes are going to draw the customers in? Where do you the placement of the cash register? Where do you position the register so that you can get maximum efficiency of being able to access and see customers browsing in the store? Also the buyers
mm-hmm.
track, so where they move about in the store. Kind of if you think kind of another example along the same lines, if you think about your grocery store, the things that you want are never right at the front door.
No, that's the whole, isn't that how they get you? Isn't that what they say, that to get you to get further into the store, they'll put what you usually want on the other end of the room so that you walk past stuff?
Yeah, because you're going to go in there anyway.
Mm.
And you're going in there for milk or for bread, something that they're not going to put right up front
mm-hmm.
because you can walk in, grab that and walk out. Mm. But if you need to walk past at least one or two things, then the likelihood that you will capture your audience and purchase one or two additional items, then you've done your job.
Mm. All right. I guess people usually think the last example I thought of was perhaps a toothpaste factory, but we did cover all, well, I think that's when people really think about operations in their prime, you know, when it really happens is when he's in a not in a service industry but in a production line.
Mm.
Mm. So I guess that's very much at the forefront. An operations manager, I guess, works in a different way than in the toothpaste factory, would they not?
Yes, very much so. So if we go back to our volume and variety matrix, so we're looking at the shoe store.
Okay.
You've got a limited number of shoes that you can sell.
Right, because you've only got the amount that's in the store.
Yes.
Right.
But you can offer additional items. You can get products in. You can order different sizes. You're going to have maybe one or two staff who can work flexible hours, who can cater to different people's needs. They're going to have questions. What kind of material is this? How do I care for it? Does it fit? Is this right for my soul type? I've got high arches, low arches, you name it.
Yeah.
Whereas, so in that scenario, you've got quite a bit of variety, even though you may have only have a small store, you've got quite a bit of variety in the types of people, the types of questions, and the type of requirements that they're going to have. So as a result of that, you really are limited to how many shoes you can sell, unless someone walks in and says, I want 10 pairs of those, which is unlikely.
Sure.
As opposed to your toothpaste factory, they're going to be mass produce.
Right.
One brand of toothpaste is going to make maybe two or three different flavours, but they don't make flavour one, flavour two, flavour three. Flavor one, flavor two, flavor three, and rotate them to get a tube of toothpaste at a time. They're looking for high volume and low variety. So they're pumping out a couple of thousand of flavor one.
Yep.
Then they move to flavor two.
Yep.
A couple of thousand of those, and then a couple of thousand of flavor three.
The most efficient sort of way of delivering all of those. Okay. So I guess an important thing for an operations manager to think about is efficiency. That's the big thing driving them, I guess, is delivering the product in the most efficient way.
The highest quality product in the most efficient and cost-effective way.
That whole nexus of the higher the quality, the higher the cost. So the if you're almost, you picture it like a seesaw, that quality, if quality goes up, then cost goes up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to decrease the cost, that means that you'd have to lower the quality. That would be the normal thing that people would think. Well, you know, I can't, you know, maybe I'll scrimp on, I don't know, an extra check so that we don't have to hire that guy. Or, you know, like we'll just run these guys a bit harder so that they, so we don't have to pay overtime or something. So that they may work faster, so they may make more mistakes in manufacturing, let's say. So the quality goes down. So I guess the challenge then for an operations manager, like you said, is to increase the quality but decrease the cost at the same time. It's almost like pull the rubber band both sides.
Yeah.
And make it happen. That's what makes operations managers so cool. I'm going out there and saying it. It's 20 past 7 on 100.92 BACR. Stay with us. We're here until 8 o'clock. We're talking about operations management. A bit later on in the show, we're talking about the operations manager specifically. Feel free to get in touch with us in the studio, send us your questions, and give us a call, 02-9793-109.
Covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown, this is your local station, 100.92 BACR.
Listen to community radio stations just like this one every month. Like you, they listen for a broad range of reasons, such as diversity in programming and to hear local news, music and information. That's what respected research firm McNair Ingenuity found when they conducted a national survey of community radio's audience. Community radio, over 20,000 volunteers operating more than 350 independent stations, entertaining and informing 7 million people just like you. For more information on community broadcasting and the McNair survey, go to www.cbonline.org.au.
Covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown, this is your local station,
100.92 BACR. This is none of our
2 BACR.
Yes, it is. This is none of our business and all of yours, 100.92 BACR. This is Peter and Robin Birch. We're here with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Robin, we're talking about operations management.
Operations management. Oh, how I love thee.
It's a topic that is relevant to very large organisations, but just as relevant to small businesses in the Bankstown and Auburn community.
Operations is everywhere, Peter.
That's the mantra, isn't it?
It is.
That's the mantra we live by. Feel free to get in touch with us in the studio. 07939 or get in touch with us via Facebook or Twitter, BACR on BACR. Robin, you know I like my random stats.
You love your random stats, Pete.
And every week, I promise to deliver you the best of the random stats. This evening.
You didn't disappoint?
I shall not disappoint. Oh. Stat number one, women are more likely to suffer distress if they have long commutes. I'm going out there, I'm saying it. A study has proven it. So like commutes to work. So if you, how long does it take you, Robin, to get to work of a morning, door to door?
Door to door? An hour.
An hour?
Yes.
Would you say maybe a bit over an hour? Can you say a bit more than an hour just for this particular example?
If I get the next train, yeah, then it's almost an hour and a half.
There you go. All right. Let's say it's a bit over an hour.
Yep.
26%.
I can do that.
Okay, good. It works for my example. 26% of women who spend more than 1 hour commuting to work reported elevated levels of psychological distress compared with 21% of women who commuted for less than 30 minutes, according to this study that was done in the UK. So if you travel more than an hour to work, you'll have more psychological distress.
Is there any particular reason, Peter, that you wanted me to travel more than an hour?
Well, no, I just thought it would have better effect on air. Further to this study, just as a point, the effect was more pronounced for women who were single parents. Apparently, I have no idea why that was the case. I think this is one of those examples of a spurious sort of finding where it's just a correlation for the sake of a correlation.
I think we could also look at operations in this example.
Oh, yeah? Explain how.
Well, the operations manager or the parent is running around the house furiously, getting everything done that she needs to get done.
Yep.
And here we've just said single mother.
Yes.
She's getting herself ready, her children ready. Obviously, they need to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to get somewhere different.
Yep.
So the processes of getting child up, self up, coffee half drunk, nappies changed, childcare plans ready, yep, bags packed,
yep,
all of those processes come together so she can get out to get to work and probably spend most of the train trip or the travel time thinking, did I put in the right things into the bag? Have they done their homework? Oh my goodness, how am I going to get this done today before I have to come home and pick up the kids?
Yep.
How is that all going to work?
Okay. Maybe you looked into it a little too much, but maybe that could be the exact reason as to why that is the case. So I think that's a good investigative result that you have found there.
I do notice, though, Peter, that in this particular stat, you've got like a nice little quirk.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Your statistics also say that longer commutes produced no increase in a man's mental distress.
No. So in this study, they didn't care either. They didn't care if it took them 5 minutes or it took them 500 minutes. Meh.
There's always the Simpsons.
Hey, that's if they had their iPad on the train, on their commute to work, they could have watched TV and they would have hoped to been on there for a lot longer.
And then I actually see more men sleeping on the train going to work than I do women?
Maybe we should do a study on it. And we should announce the stats on next week's show. What I was going to say, though, is that if they're watching TV on their iPads, they would have to download some apps. Here is my connection to the next stat. For apps. So, you know how you've got your best sellers list when you go, if you own, say, an Apple iPhone or an iPad, or even if there's the Google, I don't know, app store that they've got as well, they've got a best sellers list. So those apps that sold the highest. Consumers of smartphone apps are heavily influenced by whether an app is on a bestseller list, but only if it's at the very top, as in 1 to 10, according to this analysis that was done by the US Federal Communications Commission, which sounds very legit. According to this study, consumers' willingness to pay is about $4.50 greater for a top-ranked app that's in the 1 to 10 then for any other app from 11 down to whenever. So 11 down to 100, let's say. So
wow.
If I was looking at an app.
That's a big margin.
And it was ranked 7, you know, as the best ranked app, I'd be willing to, apparently, this study is saying that I'd be willing to pay $4.50 more for it if it was ranked 7 than if it was ranked 11. Now, I don't know if that's a psychological thing that people go, yeah, wow, you know, lots of people must like it. And it's in the top 10, so it must be worth $4.50
I do that
more.
With books, but it really only gets me for the first top 3.
So the influence, the people influence. There you go. But I guess it's like apps as well. I always look at them and go, well, if they've got ratings then, and, you know, comments, then I'd be much more willing to pay like a dollar for it than a dollar for one that no one has rated. You know, like even if it's got like a rating that's kind of like, oh, it's pretty good versus a nothing rating, I'd prefer that. At least someone has looked at it and verified that, hey, it actually does work. Maybe it's just a psychological thing. Something to think about if you're a business in the Bankstown and Auburn community and you're thinking of putting together an app, get some people to get your reviews on there.
Or just get feedback. What kind of feedback do you get from people using your tools, your services? That I think you just made an interesting point there where knowing that somebody else has used, tried, or gone to that place of business increases your likelihood to not only go there to buy it, but to also spend a little bit more. And if you've done that based on a good review, 9 times out of 10, if that was the instigator for your purchase, you'll be more inclined to leave positive feedback as a result of your interaction.
That's a good bit of snippet of advice.
Yes.
There, it's Business Advisory Community Radio. It's supporting businesses in the Bankstown and Auburn community. It's Peter and Robin Birch. We're talking about operations management this evening. Robin, the operations manager. We've talked about operations and how important they are, but someone's got to look after it. Someone's got to fly the flag and lead the pack.
Yes.
In terms of the operations. What does an operations manager do? Like, I can say
everything that they want to do, most of the things that they want to do, and just about everything that nobody else wants to.
So, it kind of sounds like the career advice I got from someone that said, the best way to get somewhere is do all the jobs that no one else wants to do. Is that what you're saying? What an operations manager does, the stuff that no one else wants to do?
An operations manager... or as we've said, a retail manager, someone that is responsible for managing the operations or the delivery.
So if I'm, say, a GP clinic,
yep,
they've got practice managers, the people that look after the, make sure things run on time, the stock's coming in, the everything's happening, doctors are not wasting time.
Yes.
They're operations managers.
They manage operations.
Okay. So if you're, let's use the example of the practice manager in the GP clinic, the family GP clinic down there.
So what would I be doing?
Why do you need them?
Well, you need to have an understanding of when your patients are coming in. What are the kind of issues that they're coming in with? Do you have the right doctors there to service their needs? Are they there at the right times? Do you always get that mad influx rush of a Monday? Or is your rush on Tuesday because they're all coming in for sick notes for the Monday? Does it happen at the end of the week? Is it an elderly scenario? Is that your demographic? Do you have doctors to cater for that? Not only do you have doctors, but do you have facilities? So do you have a bathroom? Is it suitable for an elderly person?
So thinking about the customer needs.
Customer needs is very important.
Something that I was thinking of as you were saying that is, okay, that's great. You know, if it was a small GP clinic on the corner, that's their business and that they create their own sort of strategy and vision and all that, and they know what they want to do.
Yep.
Let's say if you were the, because we've got a lot of the big four banks, they've all got branches in the Bankstown and Auburn communities. If you were working in one of those branches and you were, say, the branch manager, from what we've said, that sounds like an operations manager to me as well.
Yes. Yes, I would agree.
So what would be important then for an operations manager of, say, one of the big four banks in, say, let's say, you know, the one down in Revesby, for example. I don't know who they are, but let's say, let's take their particular role.
Yeah, we've got a couple.
Yep, we do. So what would be important for that particular branch manager?
All of the same things as it would have been in the small GP clinic.
Okay.
Volume, when is it coming? What's the timeliness of that volume?
Mm.
When do you need staff to deal with the volume?
Mm.
But in order to make informed decisions on those things, you need to know what it is that the branch owner or the practice owner wants from you.
Mm.
So if you look at, I mean, banks is a good example mm-hmm. because you've got lots of different types of banks. You've got, like you mentioned, the big four
yep.
who are very high volume, low variety, relatively speaking.
Relatively.
Versus a building society.
Right.
Which probably offers a few less products. Sorry. A wider variety of products, but he's much smaller. So they can't produce the same within the same business unit. The big bank is focused on getting as many customers as they can, providing good service, good value, at good rates. Whereas the local building society may be more inclined to provide a higher level of service, more time explaining things, a willingness to invite you in and sit you down for a basic transaction. Whereas, and to get that, you may pay a little bit more.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with either of those. They're both appealing to different markets, to a different customer base.
Yes.
Different customers have different needs, and that's fine. But knowing what decisions to make in both of those scenarios is crucial. And you get that from being strategically aligned with your owners.
Okay. So it's, I guess, really in operations, we can do anything we want. You know, you can run your business theoretically however you like, but the way it should be done is aligning with the strategic vision, the strategy of your owners, your larger group, or whoever's setting the
correct
bar, so to speak.
Because you're going to be measured as an operations manager or as a retail manager on your performance.
Yes.
If you're working for that big four bank and your focus is on high variety, low volume, concentrated customer service, you're not going to be able to meet their targets. And likewise, if you're working for that small customized branch and you have rostered everyone on, you've given them key targets to meet of how many customers they need to see per hour.
Mm.
And, you know, no, I'm sorry, but you spent 3 minutes with that person. That's too long.
Mm.
Then you're not going to be meeting their objectives.
So I guess you're then, if you're an operations manager, you're setting targets for your own staff that are aligned with the targets that have been set to you.
Yes. And depending on the organization, it can be quite creative.
Right.
How you get there. So
interesting.
It can be a process of this is the way we do it, and you know, take that big four. This is the way we do it. This is the way we deliver. We've got a standard protocol to deliver standard service, and we have standard requirements, and this is the way it must be done. It's tried, it's tested. It's been happening for the past 25 years and it all works.
Don't change it.
Don't change it. You change it. This is the right mix. It works.
Yep.
Whereas in a different organization, it could be, this is what we need to deliver.
Hmm.
This is the time frame that it needs to be done by. This is what's important. Do it. Define, identify, and build the processes and the methods that you're going to use to deliver it. So there can be differing degrees of flexibility in how you go about delivering that.
Hmm. Okay. So we've talked a bit about the examples of the banks and or larger groups, I guess.
Mm.
But I'm thinking of there are a lot of businesses that have started up within our communities that are sole traders that might be working from home,
mm-hmm.
perhaps doing an online business. Is operations management relevant to them particularly at all? Say, for example, if you're an online furniture salesman.
Mm-hmm.
So people log on, they buy a, they look at the picture of the table that you've got in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They click buy and then you send it to them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's just as relevant for that bank as it is for the guy that sits there in his underpants on a laptop that sells tables to you.
Absolutely. Okay. The at-home furniture salesman,
mm-hmm,
not only has to worry about and define a process for how someone is going to find his product,
mm-hmm,
how they're going to learn about his product, where does the information come from?
So sorry, just to go back. So right from the start, then that's how does the customer find their information? That's yes. Something that they don't even, one would think they don't, the operations manager doesn't even control. You can't control someone finding you, can you?
As the person at the center of operations, you've got the most direct contact with the end user, the buyer, the customer. You're going to learn more about them and where they come from, how they found out about you, what their sales methodology is. Are they a pickup kind of clientele? Is it delivery only? Do they pay with cash? Do they pay with credit card? Are they online purchases, or did they find out about you through word of mouth of the local newspaper?
Mm. So not only then, I think what we're leading to then, operations not only reduces costs, you know, aims to reduce cost,
mm-hmm,
which many people look at operations, they're just trying to get the most out, you know, squeeze the chamois, so to speak, get the most water out of it.
Yes.
But they're also driving revenue.
They are.
So I would have thought that actually would have just been the marketing responsibility or the salespeople's responsibility. Well, actually, I don't. But you know, for the argument that we're putting to air, one would think that would be the likely responsibility of those people.
Well, the...
Those people.
The interesting thing about an operations manager or a retail manager is that you have to be all of those things.
Right.
So... The operations manager is about delivering the highest quality item, service, or product in the most efficient time. And quality means different things to different people. In the most efficient and cost-effective way.
Mm-hmm.
So it means different things to different people. Quality may be of, you know, fantastic ingredients, the best wood in that table, the best organic honey in that cake. You know, it's different things. So the quality of the inputs is important. It may be the quality of the service that goes along with it. You know, you can buy a newspaper from anywhere, but you always go back to that one particular news agency because of the quality of service that comes with the newspaper.
Right, yes.
And it needs to be done in the most cost-effective way, because to do it cost effectively means that you can offer it at a cost effective price for your customers, but also with a sufficient margin to be able to grow and expand, increase your range, increase your output, and deliver services.
Okay, so we've got the nexus of quality and cost that we're balancing there in having the highest quality service that then retaining customers then increases revenue, I guess, in a way. If you're keeping customers in your shop, then they may be buying more, they may come back for the same product. And if you're able to do it cheaper, then that's great for you as well. You can sell more of them. Business Advisory Community Radio. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We're also on via podcast. Make sure you go to our Facebook page, BACR on BACR. You can listen to us all day, every day, the same show, and that will be really fun. Or give us a call in the studio, 9793-109. We'll be right back.
100.9, 2BACR.
There are dragons living in Sydney. Weedy sea dragons. Our coast is blessed with the world's most amazing underwater life, but it's under threat. Marine sanctuaries are urgently needed to protect our unique sea creatures to make sure we don't lose them forever. Please voice your support at www.marinesanctuaries.org.au. Authorised by the Nature Conservation Council of New South Wales, Sydney.
This is your local station covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown. 100.9 2BACR.
Hello, I'm Luke Simon, Principal and CEO of Bankstown Community College. Our college is an award-winning adult education and training provider offering general interest and nationally accredited courses to the local community. Bankstown Community College is a registered training organisation accredited by the Australian Skills Quality Authority, and its qualifications are recognised across Australia. Our courses include English language, children's services, literacy, beauty, computer training, cake decorating, yoga, photography, languages, and 50 other courses commencing throughout the year. For course information and starting dates, please visit our website at www.bankstowncc.com.au. Catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter, or simply call us on 9793 8155. That's 9793 8155. Bankstown Community College is proud to be a major sponsor of Bankstown Auburn Community Radio.
Business Advisory Community Radio 100.9 2BACR. It's Peter Birch and Robin Birch in the studio. How are you, Robin?
I'm great tonight, Peter. I'm excited about what's ahead this week in the Bankstown Auburn community.
Yes, it's a there's always something on in terms of something to go to. You know, there's always in the Torch or the Express or your local paper, you can see there's a little gathering that might be going on, but sometimes you don't know whether they're relevant to your particular area. But I think there's one that's certainly relevant to people that will be listening to this show on this week.
It is the Bankstown Business Advisory Service, in conjunction with the Business Enterprise Centre, are offering the Business Networking After Five event. And it is held at Break Free Bankstown International, which is at 477 Chapel Road in Bankstown.
Well, it's on this Wednesday from 5:30. Lucky it's at 5:30. I think we were discussing this. What time does the After 5 event start? Does it start at 5 or after 5? But you would think it would be after 5, considering it's called the Business Networking After 5. So it's at 5:30, it goes to 7:30. There's complimentary parking. You need to have already RSVP'd, so if you're really desperate to go, I reckon you can give Dominica a call at the Bankstown Business Advisory Service and beg for acceptance to be part of this, because we've been to one of these networking events before, and they're really good. It's a great opportunity to mingle with people.
Mingle with people, meet new people, catch up with people that you've met at some other events, or people that you've seen around town that you'd like to get to know.
Like-minded people as well. So these people are on the same wavelength as you. They're looking for ways to be creative, innovative in their business, and they want to be able to expand that network, expand the Rolodex, so to speak. And usually you get a free little business card holder as well that you need to fill up by the end of the day as well. Otherwise, Dominica won't be happy.
And it's in conjunction with the Business Enterprise Centre of Southern Sydney, who's an award-winning not-for-profit organisation who have had around 23 years' experience providing targeted services to help businesses grow and maximise profitability. So if that sounds like you, then Wednesday night, we hope to see you there.
Sounds good. If you didn't know anything about the Bankstown Business Advisory Service, it's a one-stop shop offering unprecedented support for residents in need of information and assistance on owning, operating and growing a business. Check out the Bankstown Council website, www.bankstown.newsouthwales.gov.au, and check out the business section and you can get all the information about it there.
And something else that is happening, our local councils are always committed to supporting our business through networking opportunities. And not only that, but they also provide free advice and assistance to new and existing businesses.
Right.
So there is a session coming up about reducing your mortgage. It's to be held on Wednesday the 10th of April, 5:30 to 7:30. So same time as our networking event on Wednesday. And you can get in touch via telephone number 136357, or you can email, and I'll pop the email up on Facebook in a little while, but it is fis.seminar.bookings@humanservices.gov.au.
That's a pretty good idea. A session on reducing your mortgage. Does it cost anything to go to this session?
No, it's a free event.
Wow.
So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it doesn't say that it's restricted to a personal mortgage. So if you have a loan to cover a commercial property, if you are working from home and a part of your mortgage is a tax deduction because it's also your place of work, then potentially there's some things that you could learn at the Reducing Your Mortgage Business Advisory Seminar on the 10th of April.
Fantastic. Look, if you know of any other networking events or opportunities within the community, and we haven't mentioned it on air, get in touch with us, 9793-109, or post it on our Facebook page, or post it up on Twitter, and give us a hashtag or an app thing.
Ed and Peter, if you're not sure what you're talking about when you talk about an at or an at tag or a hashtag.
Yep. I don't know. I just heard the kids say it and they sound pretty cool.
Well, I know where you can go to find out more about that.
No way.
I do.
Don't say the internet.
Well, you can get it via the internet.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a seniors course to get computer savvy. So it's called the Council's Computer Savvy Seniors Courses.
Wow.
And it just helps people to get familiar with the internet, to get familiar with computers, how to email friends and family overseas. Everyone's got someone who's going overseas at the moment.
Mm.
How to avoid queues at the bank.
Ooh.
How can you pay your bills online? Is it secure? And how do you use the post office online?
There's a post office online.
You can do things at the post office online. And it's also a good way to socialize, work and meet your peers and just get out there. So it's done in English, Arabic and Chinese.
Handy.
And there's also Mandarin, Cantonese and Arabic speaking volunteers guiding people as well. So it's held at the Bankstown Library, which is 62 The Mall, Bankstown. And the first one is tomorrow, so being held Tuesday the 26th of March at 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. There is a cost of $3.50 per session, but that also includes a morning tea. So not bad value there. And they're also running on the 30th of April and the 28th of May. So get booking 9707-9708 to get a part of Computer Savvy Seniors courses at the Bankstown Library starting tomorrow, 9:30.
A lot going on. Make sure you write them all in the calendar and get along and meet some people.
Do you know what you need, Peter, to be able to manage such a heavy kind of schedule? You've got networking after five events, you've got computer courses, you've also got mortgage reductions. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of things you need to attend in different locations.
Yep.
Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How do you bring it all together?
Make sure you tell me now.
Operations.
Operations. We're speaking about operations and operations management tonight on Business Advisory Community Radio. And it's a topic that has interested a few people because we have received a few questions about it. And we're endeavouring to answer all your questions on air. And we actually received one from Lucy in Yaguna. And Lucy, she owns a bakery, it looks like. She says, we own a bakery in Yaguna, and every year we find it harder and harder to make things meet. It's getting more expensive to make bread and difficult to maintain our customers. Where do we start to try and improve our business?
Oh, Lucy, that's such a big question. And it is a question that is focused on operations management.
Okay.
So where do you start? The first thing you need to do, Lucy, is get a pen and a really big bit of paper and write down every single step that you do.
I was going to say, if she was a butcher, that'd be really easy.
Get some butcher's paper?
Yeah, but I don't think bakers have baker paper. Anyway.
Get some baking paper.
You'll be fine. Of course. Goodness.
And go through every single step that you do. Write it down for every different type of product that you make. And line them up right underneath each other. So at the top of your page, you're going to go through everything that you do to make a loaf of plain crust bread. From setting the temperature on the oven and preheating, to mixing your dough, letting it rise, to cutting, to slicing, to packaging, to putting it on the shelf, to selling it. And then what I want you to do, Lucy, is to go to the next item, whether it's wholemeal bread, do the exact same thing. Then go through to your croissants and your pastries and whatever it is else that you're making as part of your bakery treats. So, and list them down underneath each other. And what you'll start to see is any overlaps where you're potentially doing multiple processes.
Right, yeah.
That you may not need to.
So like doing the same thing over and over again each time in different spots. Say, for example, you're kneading, I don't know, you're prepping the table or something like that.
Yeah.
Which involves flouring the flour down and you know, cleaning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to put everything on it and then take it off and then you've got to start again.
Yes.
Which means you've got like 5 minutes of prepping for each bit of bread that you make.
Mm.
So what should we do then though?
Well, once you start to identify the repetitive items, which are unnecessary, and it's important to identify them as unnecessary and repetitive, because when you get those two things together, you can classify them as waste. Now, we're not talking about waste as in what you're going to throw in the bin as product, as dough, as flour, as eggs.
Mm.
We're talking about waste as in a time waste, a waste of time. Something that you can do more efficiently. And that may be exactly what you're saying, Peter. If you're flouring the board and then using it and then taking it to the next stage in the process, cleaning down the board and then repeating it all over, is there a way that you can maximize that? What is it that's actually not necessary?
So I'm picturing
in
Lucy's bakery here, she's done the same thing for 25 years, let's say. I don't think she said how long, but a long time.
Yeah.
And this is how she makes bread.
Yep.
And that's why she's, let's say, the best baker in Nagoona.
Mm.
Changing the way that she makes the bread, that's a bit of a drastic step, don't you think? That's the whole heart and soul of what they do.
Lucy's not going to be looking at how to change the bread making process. She's just taking away the unnecessary pieces.
Making it all fit together.
Yeah. So if, for example, and Lucy, I need to use an example of my own kitchen when I do this, and I'm sure that you're much more organized and strict and thorough in your bakery than I am at home. But I have a tendency to use lots of utensils and just throw them in the dishwasher. But then I run out.
Of utensils.
Yeah. Or I will open a jar and doesn't matter where I am, but I have the open and I'll open it. I'll put the open jar on one side of the bench and on the other side of the kitchen, I'll put the lid. And it's just because I'm moving around the kitchen and that's how I move and how I operate and how I cook and bake.
It's chaos.
Yes. Organized chaos in my head.
Yeah.
However, when I look at the amount of time that I spend needing to go back and wash my knives, wash my spoons, or how much time I spend looking for the jar lid, either throughout the process or at the end when it comes time to cleaning up, because for me, that's the end of my day. But for you, Lucy, you're cleaning and then starting again.
That's a huge... Isn't that like one of the biggest parts? It's not so much making the bread. It's actually like for the cleaning afterwards, because that's important.
Clean as you go.
Yeah.
It's a mantra of every kitchen I've ever worked in.
Mm.
And there's a reason for it. It means that you've got utensils there and tools when and as you need them. Lucy, it means that there's less downtime between production sets. So the less time between you making your white bread dough and getting it in the oven to your wholemeal dough and getting it in the oven. So if we were to look at where you get that waste, potentially what you may see is that when you look at your day, you start on your white breads and then you move to your wholemeals.
Right.
And you do them completely separate. You do all of your whites and then you do all of your wholemeals.
Mm.
However, when you look at and you've listed everything out, not only will you start to see the time wasters, but you'll also see patterns. So if you're starting off your bread dough and the mix is exactly the same.
Right.
So you're going to make white bread and then you're also going to make a rosemary and garlic loaf.
Yeah, okay.
Which is a white bread base.
Okay, yep.
So you're making your white bread, Lucy.
Yep.
And you don't need to make all of the dough for the white bread, get it in the oven and pop it on and then start with your rosemary and garlic because you've done all of the work. Increase your volume of dough at the onset and then separate it, put your white bread in the oven and then fold through or knead or whatever you need to do to get your rosemary and garlic. So you're starting to maximize the efficiency and reduce cost of time. The money that you're going to spend in keeping the ovens warm, staff costs, and it also means if you're spending less time out the back, you're going to be able to spend more time out the front encouraging and tempting your customers to buy.
So I think that's very good advice then, not just for Lucy and Yaguna, but for other bakers, but other just any business or anyone that is in the part of a business that is producing something is... Especially if you're making a few different things, look for the list all the processes out. Is that what you said? And then look for the similarities, line them up, like the tasks that are repetitive in A, B, and Z. You're doing the same thing, but can you line them up so that you're doing them all at the same time? Perhaps. Yes. Or benefiting from the fact that they are all the same. So combining and reducing your time, reducing your waste.
Yeah. Also looking at the time that it takes to do each task. And that's where you can start to quantify and measure what it is that you're doing and how much benefit you're going to get from it. And it is a bit of an investment to looking at saying how much it actually takes rather than how much you think it takes. Because I guarantee you they're different.
Right.
No matter how fast you think you are, sometimes you're faster and sometimes you come nowhere near it.
Mm.
And looking at those variants. So not just taking it as sometimes I do it 4 minutes, sometimes I do 11. Then, you know, it's an important metric. So you can see how fast you can do it when everything's going right. But also what kind of an allowance you need to make when it doesn't go so smoothly.
So the benefit of having an external measure or a someone checking the speed, so to speak, or how you're doing, rather than just having a gut feel for yourself. You know, if you're able to measure something.
Yeah, it's important to know how much you're going to get out of this investment of time. It can be tedious to sit down and make a record of how long it takes you to stock the shelves or how long it takes you to serve a customer.
Mm.
But if you don't have that marker to begin with, you don't know what goal it is that you're setting, and you can't really see if you've actually achieved anything or you've just been following through the motions.
So hopefully, Lucy, that answers your question. And if anyone had any follow-up questions that come out of that answer, please get in touch with us via Facebook or Twitter, BACR on BACR. And that's it for tonight's introduction on operations management. But next week, Rob and I say we step it up a notch. I reckon we go the masterclass of operations. Perhaps we don't call it the masterclass of operations.
An operations masterclass.
I'm thinking of those that really want to take their operations to the next level. Then tune in next week, Monday, 7 till 8 on Business Advisory Community Radio. This is 100.9. It's Peter and Robin Birch. Have a good evening.
covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown. This is your local station, 100.9 2BACR.